Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus podcast. I'm your host, Ben Baker, and apparently some hippie stranger wandered into the Man Cave this week and has taken up residence across from the makeshift desk. Joel.
It's only temporary.
I'm sorry, sir. Can you tell us your name?
Hey, my name's Joel. I'm with a Man Cave Caucus.
Blink podcast. Twice if you know where Joel is.
I'm back.
It's been so long, I almost forgot we had a part-time, full-time Googler.
I had to use MapQuest to get here.
That takes me back.
Yeah, I printed the pages out.
You printed it out? It's like four pages.
Mm-hmm.
Joel, I mean, would you like to share a little bit about the escapades for the last 3 weeks or what?
My gallivanting?
Yeah, the gallivanting.
Or what was the other word?
That was gadabouting.
I was gadabouting.
We figured that's the case. I think we nailed that definition.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. 2 weeks ago, so I haven't been with you for 3 weeks.
Right.
2 weeks ago, I was at the Arkansas Derby.
Okay.
The horse races there in Hot Springs.
Were you successful?
I'm not really into that thing, but I married into it. My wife's family's big into it. So I enjoyed it. I think we lost like $250 as an entire family. So.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
So horse racing, at least 1 week.
Yeah. Oh, and then last week I was at the lake. Perfect weekend to be at the lake. It was a bachelor weekend.
That's nice.
My buddy Carter that's getting married.
Cool.
I was with a friend of the show, Jonah Paschek. I shouted him out.
A while back. And got it wrong.
I got it wrong. Not only did I called him Jordan because I was looking at my screen and I was occupied. I called him Jordan Paschek.
Right.
But I corrected that at the time. It was Jonah, but he let me know over last weekend that it's Pazek.
Oh.
It's spelled P-A-S.
So double mistake.
P-A-Z-S-E-K or C-K. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's Pazek for all the listeners. Jonah Pazek, friend of the show.
Well, I appreciate that correction.
He was there.
We do want to be correct here on the Man Cave Caucus podcast.
He was recruiting listeners, actively recruiting.
Wow. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tim is not here this week. It's almost impossible for us to just get back together again, you know? I was going to, you know what? I'm going to play it anyway, Joel. You ready? I don't even care, even though Tim's not here. You ready?
Yeah.
How about this? Huh?
The boys are back in town.
I thought they were going to be, but I wanted to play this so bad, I'm going to do it anyway. And technically it's true, even though we might not, again, have a quorum, Joel's back. So, there's that. Just gadabouting around. So yeah, you guessed it, folks. The boys are back in town, and we got a lot to talk about this week. And since Tim's not here, it's going to be straight up facts.
Only the facts.
Right?
Just the facts, man.
What we like to call the cold hard truth. There it is. All right. First up on episode, what are we, 84 now?
I think that's right.
That's crazy. First up this week, the MAGA Minute from the White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt, just a little rundown of what the Trump administration has been up to this week. And it's, I mean, we've talked about this. It's like breakneck speed with this administration and what has been going on. But she breaks it down here and just listen up.
Hey guys, safe to say it was another very busy week here at the White House. Let's roll through it for this week's MAGA Minute. This week, the president took strong action to put U.S. trade interests first by raising tariffs on China to 145% and dropping tariffs to 10% for most countries after bringing more than 75 nations to the negotiating table. The president hosted the L.A. Dodgers and racing champions here at the White House.
Just
and he hosted a successful bilateral meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We also had incredible economic news. Inflation declined massively in March. Consumer prices dropped for the first time in 3 years. Energy prices have decreased 2.4%. Gas prices decreased 6.3%. And real average hourly earnings are growing by 1.4%. AMG Minerals, Novonix, Novartis Pharmaceuticals, Guardian Bikes, and many other companies announced billions of dollars in investment in the United States as a result of the president's economic and America First trade policies. The White House Council of Economic Advisors released a study showing President Trump's actions will save nearly $11,000 per family of four over the coming years.
The president signed
an executive order bolstering U.S. coal production following decades of industry decline. The administration also won four major Supreme Court cases, repealing rulings from activist federal judges. And the Department of Homeland Security relaunched the Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement Office to assist Americans who have been harmed by illegal immigrant crime. That's just a very small glimpse into all of the incredible work our administration is doing to make America great again. Thanks for tuning in.
I love this MAGA Minute. It's almost like they stole it from us, Joel.
I didn't know there was a thing on the White House's end.
They've just started that, I think. It's just like a little update they're going to do every week. So the tariffs have dominated the news over the past week, as well as the stock market and what has been going on with that as well. But it seems as though that the negotiating tactic with the tariffs is working. Most countries are coming to the table or have already came to the table to cut a deal on trade. And what I've been telling people is this whole strategy that President Trump is doing with this is really all about China. You know, we have to leverage the economic strength that we currently hold while we still have it in order to break China on trade. If we wait and continue to allow China to have these terrible deals when it comes to trade, they're going to dominate the world in trade and we won't have that leverage. And then you're done. Then you have nothing to negotiate with. So you may never be able to recover as well. So now there has been a 90-day freeze on the tariffs on everyone except for China, who is now slapped with, I think we're at about 150% tariff. After last week, it went from like 34% to 150%, I think, over the week. And now I'm already hearing that China is saying that they're willing to come to the table and have that discussion. And the bottom line with this is far too long, they have taken advantage of us. And because of that, they have continued to dominate trade worldwide and take more ground in that realm. And Trump is the only one who has been willing to address this and really jerk the wheel to correct it, right? And that's what's happening. That's what you see play out. It's going to hurt for a little bit for some people, for some companies, as this market adjustment happens. I talked to a guy, we've talked about this, who owns a steel company because he buys American. He's doing great right now and is able to keep competitive prices and drive a lot of business because the other companies who source stuff from China have to mark their prices up. So it does encourage people to buy American, which I think is a good thing. That's going to drive and generate American jobs. So it's been interesting to see this play out and this standoff happen between President Trump and China. Here's what Israel did over the week. Let's watch this.
First, if I can mention tariffs, it's a subject of some interest today. I can tell you that I said to the president a very simple thing. We will eliminate the trade deficit with the United States. We intend to do it very quickly. We think it's the right thing to do. And we're going to also eliminate trade barriers. A variety of trade barriers that have been put up unnecessarily. And I think Israel can serve as a model for many countries who ought to do the same. I recognize the position of the United States. It says You know, we're allowing other countries to put tariffs on us, but we don't put tariffs on them. And, you know, I'm a free trade champion, and free trade has to be fair trade. And I think that's basically the position that you have put forward, Mr. President. We are going to eliminate the tariffs, and rapidly. I had the opportunity to speak to Secretary Lutnick yesterday. We talked about how we could affect this quickly, and I hope to bring the solution very quickly. We're not talking about intentions. We're not talking about, you know, just words. We're talking about results. And those results are going to come. That's the first.
Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Thank you.
So that's Benjamin Netanyahu saying that they are going to completely eliminate the tariffs when it comes to Israel's relationship with trade in the United States. And it seems to me, just like he said, that that should be the correct response. If you want to remain on good standing with the United States and trade.
He also said they were going to eliminate the trade deficit.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, they're going to. I mean, there's two ways to do that.
Uh-huh.
They can stop importing what probably diamonds, the biggest export, or they can start importing something else mm-hmm. from us. Maybe pork?
Yeah. Well,
probably not pork.
Probably not pork.
But they're going to figure it out. And you know what? My takeaway from this is look at us back at it with one of our strongest allies. Good for us, because
exactly.
That wasn't there under the last.
Well, and there has been many others who have come to the table just over the past week. And then President Trump says we're going to put a 90-day pause on all of it except for China, which again is a strong message saying you're the real problem that we're dealing with. All these other countries are coming to the table. They're going to get a better deal. And to me, that puts even more pressure on China to then do that, come to the table and make a deal.
Whether it was strategy or not, China exposed themselves.
For sure. Also this week, President Trump announced that they are looking at the first $1 trillion budget for the Department of Defense. Listen to what he had to say about that.
We have great things happening with our military. We also essentially approved a budget, which is in the facility. You'll like to hear this, of $1 trillion, and nobody's seen anything like it. We have to build our military, and we're very cost conscious, but the military is something that we have to build, and we have to be strong, because you got a lot of bad forces out there now. So we're going to be approving a budget, and I'm proud to say, actually, the biggest one we've ever done for the military. We have great.
So $1 trillion in the budget for defense.
Looks like that's up from $820 billion last year.
Yeah, pretty significant extra chunk there. But I think, again, this shows that the president is very serious about making it and returning to the idea of peace through strength and that approach with our military. You know, they're in the middle of having to change so many things and recorrect so many things with all the departments in the federal government, but especially the Department of Defense, eliminating, you know, they're in the middle of all this, eliminating the wokeness out of our military. You know, no pronouns, no transgenders in the military, putting lean, mean fighting machines into those leadership positions. And that was the first step in correcting the weakening of our fighting forces. This was really started by Obama and perpetrated and made worse by Joe Biden under his presidency. And it was so bad what has happened to the elite fighting forces of the world under those presidents. And so it's a major correction to have to try to address this. And I think, again, that sends a message that America is going to continue to be the strongest in the world when it comes to our fighting forces. There's no question about that. And I think that's important. You have to send that message. And far too long, our enemies have been laughing at us because of our weakness. I mean, what do you think those countries are thinking when some of those people that were in those positions of leadership in our military were just an absolute clown show? So we're back to finally serious people being in those positions, and I think it's going to matter.
With that being said, Doge has to do their part.
They do. You still have to root out waste, abuse, can't have fraud.
We can't have a Pentagon that can't balance their budget, that can't pass an audit
absolutely.
With a $1 trillion budget. I'm all for the military spending. Doge has to still fix the Pentagon.
Absolutely. And I think that's going to continue to happen. And in fact, I think Hegseth this week even said that they are internally doing that as well.
I believe it.
So I think when you have leadership that recognize there is waste, fraud, and abuse and that it should be rooted out everywhere, you're going to see that happen. But I want to talk about a little bit, and this is kind of a segue right out of that, but connected, what Trump said about secret weapons this week and how that our weapons are far more advanced than what anyone else in the world have currently. Listen to what he said about that. I thought this was interesting.
And we're very powerful. This country is very powerful. Let me tell you, it's far more powerful than people understand. We have weaponry that nobody has any idea what it is, and it is the most powerful weapons in the world that we have. More powerful than anybody, even not even close. So nobody's going to do that. But I think that if that's what you're referring to, maybe it's not.
So he's talking about the secret weapons and having things that nobody else knows what it even really is. I thought that was an interesting thing for him to mention this week.
I think I found what he's talking about.
Did you?
Yeah.
What is it?
Is that not?
Yes.
Is that not?
What is that?
It's the sharks with lasers on them.
Okay.
Is that not what he was talking about?
Well, I don't know.
Could be.
But if you're showing it to us, Joel, it's not. It's probably not secret.
I found it on the internet.
Yeah. Well, everything you see on Facebook is true, right? Did you find that on Facebook? Or?
No, this is just a basic Google search.
The dark web?
Yeah.
How do you even get on the dark web?
I guess it's really easy. I actually just attended a class, and they're like, if you're not on the dark web, come see us after class. We'll get you on the dark web right now.
For law enforcement?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you guys do have to peruse that at times, catching bad guys.
We've got computers that are dedicated for it, so we don't have to get on the dark web on our regular computers, but I've personally never been on it.
Huh.
But my understanding is you could buy drugs or...
Wow.
Sky's the limit.
Just all there.
I don't know.
Just dial it in, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. I've always wondered about that, actually. So, speaking of advanced weapons, I saw a story this week that piqued my interest.
It wasn't sharks with lasers?
It wasn't sharks with lasers, but could you imagine sharks with lasers with AI?
Grok could come up with something.
I think this is an idea, Joel. But yeah, speaking of advanced weapons, so there's a guy by the name of Palmer Luckey. You ever heard of him?
Not until you sent me that.
Okay. He's a 32-year-old American entrepreneur and tech billionaire born in 1992, best known for founding the Oculus VR headsets. You ever used one of those?
I actually used one last weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Blast, huh?
It was crazy.
It
I was walking
crazy.
Like on the top of a building and...
Yes.
Crazy.
The virtual reality stuff is unbelievable. So this guy, Palmer Luckey, is known for founding the Oculus VR headset and designing that, I think it's called the Oculus Rift, a virtual reality headset that revitalized the whole virtual reality industry, really. And then he sold it to Facebook or Meta in Facebook in 2014. That seems like an eternity ago, by the way, 2014. For $2 billion, he sold the Oculus to Facebook. He left then in 2017 because there was some controversy because he was a pro-Trump guy. And they didn't like his political views and activities, whatever. They also call him like a hard right conspiracy theorist and all this stuff. There's an article. The article that I saw that piqued my interest about this was from the Daily Dot. I'm not going to read it all because it's completely slanted in opposition to this guy. But because of that article, I got to digging into this and looking at the facts about this guy and what he has done. And it's really interesting. So he has voiced controversial views, I guess you could say. But, hey, we have, too, if it comes to talking about conspiracies, right? You can't help it anymore. About the CIA and January 6th and the DNC pipe bomb incident or whatever, this guy has been outspoken about it. Palmer Luckey. In June of 2017, shortly after he left Oculus, he founded Anduril Industries with former Palantir executives Matt Grimm, Trey Stevens, Brian Schimpf, along with Oculus hardware lead Joseph Chen. This was backed by Peter Thiel's Founders Fund, and Anduril focuses on advanced autonomous systems and AI-driven military technology, aiming to disrupt the stagnant defense industry with this new innovation, software-defined solutions with AI. It's actually named after a sword, did you know this, from the Lord of the Rings.
Oculus?
Yeah. The company combines, no, the company, the name of the company, not the Oculus, Anduril.
Right. Anduril. I didn't know that.
I guess is a sword from the Lord of the Rings. So they combine low-cost hardware with sophisticated software to create products like these autonomous drones. Sentry Towers is another one of their big products, and they've actually employed these or built these on the border, and counter-drone systems as well, which I think is a huge deal given where we're at with drone technology and warfare, right? So Anduril has secured over $1 billion in U.S. government contracts up to date, including a $642 million deal with the U.S. Marine Corps in 2025 for AI-driven counter-unmanned aerial systems, and a $350 million contract with the Department of Homeland Security in 2022 for border surveillance sentry towers. Internationally, this company supplies drones to Ukraine and autonomous submarines. So you're getting close with your shark lasers there, Joel.
I know it was
autonomous submarines, shark submarines. No, not really shark submarines, but hey, who knows? Maybe it is. Autonomous submarines to Australia. The company's AI platform is called Lattice. It integrates battlefield systems, enabling autonomous operations for weapons like the Fury. Have you heard of this one? The Fury, it's YFQ-44. It's an unmanned fighter jet that is being produced at their Arsenal One factory in Ohio. So Anduril is producing the Fury unmanned fighter jet. Have you read about this? This is wild.
I got pictures of it.
This is like a, yeah, we're going to look at these pictures. Show that up there. Miss producer over there on the couch.
Wow, that's one looks like they're building.
Is that the Fury?
That's the one you the
yep,
number
that's
you
it.
Just named
the CCAs, off. Yeah. So it's wild. And so their Anduril's mission, as Luckey stated it, is to make the US the world's gun store. He actually said that, made that statement, leveraging AI to modernize military capabilities. So the Fury, officially designated as the YFQ-44 by the U.S. Air Force, is an unmanned combat aerial vehicle. It's just wild. The original design was by Blue Force Technologies, and then the Fury was selected as one of two winning designs, I guess, that they presented to the U.S. Air Force, right? And this program is to develop autonomous aircraft that can collaborate with manned fighter jets, marking this Fury fighter jet as part of the first ever unmanned fighter category, but yet it's something that can collaborate with manned fighter jets. So I don't know what all that means, whether, you know, what kind of communication or even, you know, missions that would look like with unmanned fighter jets and manned fighter jets collaborating together.
Have you seen Iron Man?
I have.
You know how like they launch all those Iron Mans with the...
Yes, that are all like in sync.
That's how I see it.
Or like those big drone shows, right, that China does. Have you ever seen those? in the sky where it's almost like fireworks, but it's all the drones and they're like in sync together.
Yes, I have.
Like a big dragon or yes, whatever. Yeah. That's kind of what I think about too, like in sync with these other drones and working together to accomplish that.
Yeah.
But it's wild stuff. But the technical specifications, the Fury is designed for high performance missions capable of flying at altitudes up to 50,000 feet and speeds of Mach 0.95, whatever that is. I don't even know. It can pull a maximum of 9 G's and sustain up to 4.5 G's at 20,000 feet, which, again, is just crazy stuff. So I got to reading about this. There's no end to the information, which, okay, this is information we can actually find about something they are developing for military, right? So you think about what Donald Trump said, though. There are things that we have, weapons that we have in our fighting forces that nobody knows about or what their capabilities are. It's not something you can look up on the internet, look up on Grok and find all these specifications for, right? So anyway, that was the rabbit hole I went down to.
Did you go down this other Palmer Lucky rabbit hole?
Which one was that? Tell me.
Did you see who his brother-in-law is?
I did. Matt Gaetz, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matt Gaetz is married to Palmer Luckey's sister, right?
Yeah.
That was something I found, too, that I thought was interesting. So, I don't know. We'll keep up with that, maybe come back to it at some point in the future, talk a little bit about the Fury and what's happening there. But as I understand it, they're building those in Ohio right now.
Excellent.
Next up, we're diving into a real head scratcher, Joel, out of California.
I read this out loud whenever you sent the
unbelievable, isn't it? Okay.
You can't make this up.
A new bill proposed in California legislature. It's Bill AB 435. Look it up, folks. By Assemblywoman Lori Wilson. Let's make her famous. She wants to ban kids under the age of 16 years old, from sitting in the front seat of a car if they don't meet certain height requirements. Sounds like discrimination to me, right? If we were to use their terms. So I just couldn't wrap my head around this. Like, so, you know, again, on the surface, I'm sure to a lot of people, this sounds like a safety measure, right?
Who's the sponsor
of that bill? Lori Wilson. And they'll point to these crash data, you know, research and studies that they'll show where smaller frame kids are at a higher risk of injury up front in the car. And I'm sure, you know, some of that is legitimate. With the back seat reducing that risk by up to 64% for kids under 8, 31% or whatever for 9 to 12 year olds, you know, and it just goes on. Fair enough, right? Whatever. We want kids to be safe, of course.
Sure.
But here's where it gets crazy to me, Joel. Lori Wilson, the bill sponsors, we want our children to be safe. You know, that's a noble sentiment, right? But let's take a closer look at Lori Wilson's track record. This is the same lawmaker, Joel, who back in 2023 authored Bill AB 957, which was a bill that requires judges to consider whether a parent affirms their child's gender identity during custody disputes. Same woman. Okay? So on one hand, you know, children can, of whatever age, can determine their gender, and you can't disagree with it as a parent. But yet, on the other hand, we've got to mandate it with government by the law that under 16 is too dangerous to be in the front seat of a vehicle.
You can't make this up.
That's how crazy this is. So, you know, supposedly she's all about protecting kids from a front seat airbag, but she's fine with the state stepping in to fast track life altering decisions for those same kids that would absolutely, in my opinion, produce harm in their lives. That's not safety. That's hypocrisy at its finest, in my opinion.
If Tim was here, he'd already have a car designed with a steering wheel in the back seat.
Yes.
That would be California safe.
It's crazy. So you're talking about a kid that can go get a driver's license and drive the car, right? No matter what their height is. There's no height requirement for drivers, right?
Right.
It's something that is, by the law, a right that you can have. But yet, no. If you're 16, you can't ride in the passenger seat in the front. Dadgummit. So crazy. I couldn't believe it.
I can't make this up.
Pretty soon, here's what I think. Pretty soon in California, you won't be able to leave your house without a full body bubble suit, right? Just to protect you from all the elements.
As long as it's got all the transgender
flags
markups.
On it. Yeah, right.
This lady, what's that? The congressperson, I don't even know what role they were in Georgia, that defaulted on all those credit cards. What was her name?
No, who you're talking about.
She ran for governor
of
Georgia and barely lost and refused to admit she lost. I'll Google it, but
Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams. This Lori Wilson has a real Stacey Abrams feel to her.
Uh-huh. So show that picture up there. Can you? We got to see Lori Wilson.
There she is.
Okay.
Yeah, she does.
If you put her and Stacey Abrams in a lineup, mm-hmm. no one would ever pick the right one.
Yeah. She's got that purple jacket on too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who knows? Crazy stuff in California. No wonder people are leaving that state by the droves, right?
Yeah, that and Gavin Newsom.
Right. Next up, it really is the land of the wolves, Joel. I've been saying this for a while, and now we have proof. Have you seen how they reportedly have brought back the dire wolves? That was from, what show was that? Game of Thrones, maybe? The dire wolves, big 5 foot tall wolves. So here's the video that's been circulating the internet over the last week with these wolves. Supposedly, this is dire wolf pups.
They're back.
So, this is crazy stuff. This is what was going around the internet. Okay, so supposedly the dire wolves were brought back from extinction. This company by the name of Colossal Biosciences. That sounds a bit ominous, doesn't it? Using ancient DNA and CRISPR gene editing technology. What does that even mean? Look that up, Joel. What is CRISPR? CRISPR. Gene editing technology. With the pups, they're named Romulus and Remus, born in October of 2024. Colossal Biosciences extracted direwolf DNA from fossils, supposedly up to 72,000 years old, edited gray wolf DNA to express the direwolf traits like white fur, the larger size, and implanted the modified embryos into surrogate dogs. But there is some controversy here as to whether it's truly dire wolves, because there are some people saying that these are hybrids. They're not true dire wolves due to genetic differences. So it's been genetically modified to look and appear somewhat like a dire wolf, but it's not really one.
So it's not going to grow to 7 feet tall.
I don't know. Guess we'll find out.
I found CRISPR gene editing.
Okay, what is it?
It is a technique that allows scientists to precisely modify DNA by cutting and deleting or inserting new sequences. It's based on a bacterial antiviral defense system and uses a protein called Cas9 along with a guide RNA to target specific DNA locations. This technology has potential to treat genetic diseases and develop new treatments for various conditions.
And also bring back scary beasts from the past.
I mean, have they never seen Jurassic Park?
Right.
This is the storyline exactly. from Jurassic Park.
Wasn't it like it was from Fossil, right? In Jurassic Park. Or like the...
They found a mosquito in some, not honey, but some sort of sap.
Yeah.
And extracted DNA and made dinosaurs, mm-hmm. which is not far off from this.
And that didn't turn out well, did it?
I think they escaped and killed a bunch of people.
All the people died, pretty much.
In all 12 of the movies.
In all of them.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum, he made it.
Jeff Goldblum's the only one. Of course. Yeah. Because he's kind of smirky, snarky.
Right. Well, you can't kill off the funniest character, right?
That's right.
Otherwise, nobody would. Nobody would even watch it. So, yeah. Crazy stuff. I don't know how much of that is true about the dire wolves and all that. But
what about that last part of it? This technology has the potential to treat genetic diseases and develop new treatments for various conditions. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Not so much the 7-foot-tall wolves and dinosaurs.
Yeah. I think it's just scary, you know? When they start messing with this stuff, you know, splicing stuff together.
Playing God.
Playing God, yeah. So, in reality, really, I thought, so actually it's just a mutt then, right? When you're mixing the DNA from these other wolves and
as of now, yes, but certainly they'll be able to make a purebred one and we can sell it on, what's that, Craigslist. We'll put it on Craigslist. And we'll make a little bit of money.
Next thing you know, you go to Walmart, people are selling dire wolves out of the back of their minivans.
Oh, man.
What can go wrong? Land of the wolves.
There'll be a dire wolf at every house on Neo Show.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would just rather have the robot horse that we talked about last week.
Oh, I must not have heard that.
Yeah.
Part.
I mean, if you're going to have, dire wolves seem to be, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed like to me, you know, a little temperamental. You know, maybe it would take some serious training. But the mechanical horse, you know, something that you could probably depend on until all the robots turn against us and then it's over.
The robot conversation we had a month or so ago has been a real conversation in my house. Like, what are we going to have it do? Like, what's it not going to be allowed to do?
Right. No more rules.
No more picking trash up out of the yard.
No.
I'm done with that.
Done with that.
Give me that $20,000 Tesla robot.
That's right. Mow the grass.
I'll never mow the grass again.
Exactly.
We're not going to let it change diapers.
No.
We're not going to let it put the baby to bed.
No.
But it can pick up all the trash out of my ditch.
There's a lot of stuff.
Fold the laundry.
We could totally delegate. Fold the laundry. All right. next up... Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett.
Another. These are getting as common as the Florida Man stories.
It really is.
What has she said that's dumb this week?
Okay. So she steps in it again. And this time, it could be worse than what I have seen so far, actually. I think this is probably the worst one.
I did see this. She's a racist.
So this is it's crazy stuff. Making comments about immigrants. This is what Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett had to say.
So I had to go around the country and educate people about what immigrants do for this country or the fact that we are a country of immigrants.
Let me remind you, she's at a Baptist church speaking at the 125th anniversary of this church.
Right. The fact is, ain't none of y'all trying to go and farm right now. Okay, so I'm lying. Raise your hands.
I wonder where Grace Baptist Church is.
Mm-hmm. You're not. We done picking cotton. We are. You can't pay us enough to find a plantation. I know that's right. So I had to go.
Wow.
What an ignoramus.
Can you believe it?
1 in 10 people in this country are farmers.
Right.
Now, you might have to Google me, fact check me like you did, Tim, but I'm pretty sure 1 in 10 people in this country are farmers.
There's a lot.
But she, I guess she forgot that.
None of y'all farming out there. So, Jasmine Crockett, Democrat from Texas. I think she's from Dallas area.
Yeah.
spoke at Grace Baptist Church, I think it's in Connecticut, Joel, arguing that U.S. relies on immigrant labor for farming because Americans are unwilling to take such jobs. That's basically what she was saying, using the phrase, "we done picking cotton," to emphasize historical labor shifts. Could someone, though, get the word to Crockett that today cotton harvesting is completely mechanized, actually, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think people are actually going out into the field and picking the cotton in the U.S.
My grandpa picked cotton.
These days, it's a mechanized thing. Machines, I think they have a spindle picker that will do like six rows of it now. Yeah.
But so still yet her argument that is that no one's farming.
Right. No one's farming. And
where does she think her food comes from?
And how dare we send immigrants that are illegal here back, because they're the only ones, apparently, in her mind, that can do those jobs, which I think is just crazy.
Even in Connecticut, even in Dallas, Texas, there are farmers.
Of course.
What an ignoramus.
Especially Texas.
She's never heard of one. They're not in Dallas anymore, I guess.
Yeah, I couldn't pass it up. She's becoming a regular here on the Man Cave Caucus podcast. But you can't help it. You just can't help it. Because again, imagine if I said something like that, Joel, in a public setting.
It'd be on the cover of People magazine.
It'd be all over the news, and you guarantee that I would be called a racist for saying something of that nature. All right, we'll leave that there. Next up, Carolyn Leavitt teases that Doge has made a major discovery. Let's see what she has to say about this.
And then the president on Thursday told us that there was an incredible discovery that the Doge team had made. He called it horrible and incredible. Can you reveal that yet? Give us details on what it was about.
There has been a discovery. I hate to leave you hanging on a cliff, but I don't want to get ahead of the president on that. But I can confirm there has been a discovery. It's just not quite yet ready for release.
So I don't know if we even know what this is yet. I was trying to figure out.
Is it sharks with lasers? No.
I would love it if it was. With AI. Yeah. And a dire wolf riding on the back.
We're breaking into the.
We'll throw that at him.
Where's Tim and his Alex Jones voice?
Right. So here's a few things, you know, this week that were uncovered with Doge. But I don't know if this is the big news that she was talking about. Here's one. Look at this one. This is crazy. $4 billion and some change for federal agencies just for furniture, Joel.
On high-end pieces. Since fiscal year 2021, executive agencies have spent more than $4.6 billion on furniture alone. That amount could buy 9.2 million American families a modest $500 kitchen table. During the peak years of the COVID emergency, from 2020 to 2022, agencies spent $3.3 billion on furniture, even as work migrated to Zoom. The SEC managed to spend $700,000 furnishing a single conference room in New York. And social distancing guidelines failed to keep even the Centers for Disease Control from buying solar-powered picnic tables with charging ports.
What? Solar-powered picnic tables?
That, by their own rules, should have sat unoccupied. And an added burden for taxpayers is that many spaces are in long-term disrepair, as we mentioned before. Federal buildings need $370 billion in fixes.
It's just crazy. The stuff they are finding is just crazy. Just when you think you've heard it all, it gets worse. $4.6 billion for furniture. For federal agencies.
Solar-powered picnic tables.
With charging ports. So apparently they're sitting outside on their nice picnic tables and charging their phones. I mean, whatever. Whatever. But here's another one I found, okay? It could be this. Jesse Waters is talking about this one. Where? How about $5 trillion in untraceable payments from the federal government? $5 trillion.
I think someone's stealing from us.
I think you're right. Here's what he had to say about that.
$5 trillion in payments that are untraceable. the budget line is blank, and they're worried about your Bitcoin. $5 trillion, untraceable. No idea where it went and how it was spent. A $5 trillion blank check. Social Security sent out $72 billion in bad checks. Guess who resigned last night? The head of Social Security. Right when Doge asked Michelle King to have a seat because she was about to get canned, she says, "You can't fire me because I quit." And the press is acting like this isn't suspicious. You may assert there's no waste in the Pentagon. You may assert there's no waste in Treasury.
I'm not asserting there's no waste in HHS.
Stephen Miller just
Stephen,
going after
them. Why are you not celebrating these cuts? If you agree there is waste, if you agree there is abuse, if you agree there is corruption, why are you not celebrating the cuts, the reforms that are being instituted every day that no action is taken? The entire
salaries of American workers that are taxed
disappear forever.
Stephen, let's calm down. We're not having a debate.
There's no reason
about whether there are
You are clearly trying to debate me, and I will be, as I want to be, about the fact that we are saving Americans billions of dollars.
It's crazy. And it's crazy that they won't celebrate it. And that's the thing I will never understand.
TDS. Then,
yeah, that's all it is.
It could be.
It's sheer, just political, you know, hatred is what it is.
Yeah.
That is driving people's opposition to what is happening with Doge. You think about that. $5 trillion, that's how much of the, I mean, what are we, $30 trillion? That's a pretty good percentage of our $30 trillion national debt right there. Where did it go? We have no idea.
By the end of this thing, maybe we could cut that national debt. A little more than $5 trillion a year could probably do it.
I agree.
But they want no part of it.
They want no part of it because they just hate Donald Trump. Yeah, they're deranged.
There's our boy, Will Scharf.
There's Will Scharf again, just feeding the president these executive orders. I love
that. That guy's a camera hound, isn't he?
Yes. And the memes from these two are just so great. The AI ones, have you seen some of them? Where they make up just different stuff. Oh, I will tell you this, Joel. So I saw a good friend of mine who has some close friends in the White House. And he was telling me about all these executive orders. And they are just coming up with some awesome, awesome stuff to say here. See if you'll sign this one.
I think about 90% of them are good, well thought out, productive ideas that he has.
Yeah.
And I think about 10% of them are just to get the media going.
Yes. Well, keep them in the
media
tizzy.
Bait.
Keep them in the tizzy that they're in, right? Which is working because they can't keep up. They cannot keep up with what's happening in the Trump administration, and they hate that.
And the crazier the executive order, the harder they bite, the louder they get.
Yep.
You'll see it on your Facebook from your liberal friends. And it's just like, okay, you guys chase that.
That's right.
Chase that bone, right. And we're going to be in here doing the work.
Yeah. Here's one I absolutely loved this week. I just loved it. Okay. An executive order to make America's showers great again. Because the truth is they have regulated shower heads in some of these states, right?
I wasn't even aware
of that. California. Where you can't get water pressure in your shower because it's regulated by the government.
That should be a crime.
It should. So here's what President Trump had to say about this. And I thought this was just absolutely hilarious.
The Biden administration launched what you called a war on showers. They had certain regulations.
The guys in the background are loving it. Lutnick is laughing over there.
You can say it. What are the appliances?
I mean, it's everything, sir.
Sinks and dishwashers,
toilets, sinks. But the shower heads are
there's
a huge
no water.
Deal.
You don't get water. It's ridiculous.
So with this executive order, we're effectively going to be reversing that set of regulations to ensure that Americans have choice in the consumer market. If they want a low-flow shower head, they can buy one. If they want a no-deal shower head,
no one does.
You buy a new house, you pay a lot of money, and the developers, you're not allowed to do anything more. They put restrictors on. They used to have a restrictor where you could take it out, but now they weld it in, and you take a shower or wash your hands, whatever you do, including dishwashers when no water comes out, but you wash your hands, and in my case, I like to take a nice shower to take care of my beautiful hair. I stand in the shower for 15 minutes till it gets wet. So drip, drip, drip.
I love it.
Big, beautiful hair.
I love it so much. Oh, yeah. So
word is, too, Joel, that the Doge protesters completely unaffected by the executive order on showers.
Yeah. No, they didn't even notice it happened.
That's right.
It wasn't even a blip on their radar.
They said, what's a shower?
Yeah. That's the ones at 7th Street and Rangeline specifically.
Uh-huh. I heard about that. So, yeah, I thought that was just greatness. An executive order on making America showers great again. Next up this week, I thought this was funny. This is a CNN town hall, by the way, with Bernie Sanders.
Are you supportive of this? Are you supportive of these onesies?
Anderson Cooper actually misgenders one of the audience members that is asking questions, and it's just hilarious to watch.
Keep up.
Just watch this.
Paul, we're back with Senator Bernie Sanders. I want to introduce Grace Thomas. She's a local civil rights attorney. She's a Democrat, Grace.
They, them pronouns, actually. Thank you.
Oh.
Good evening, Senator Sanders. Polling and turnout data indicate that men of all racial demographics are turning away from the Democratic Party. But of course.
Paul, we're back with.
Are you supportive of this? Are you supportive of these onesies?
Oh, man. Just too good.
Tim wrote a song called They Stop Loving Them Today.
Did he?
Yeah.
I haven't heard this
one. We need
one.
To put that on. Oh, it's great. We need to put it on a button for pronouns. For
they the stopped pronoun loving them today.
Yeah, just took all the contention out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's good. Yeah. Very inclusive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what we want. We want to be inclusive. Yeah, I just thought that was funny because Anderson's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. We're supposed to be the network that
right
takes care of our allies.
Next up, a Rutgers affiliated study found that 55% of left-leaning Americans, this is crazy stuff, 55% of left-leaning Americans believe assassinating Donald Trump would be somewhat justified, reflecting a growing acceptance of what is known as political violence on the left. And this is a Network Contagion Research Institute report on what they called assassination culture. The study also highlights a broader trend of normalizing violence, with 48% of left-leaning respondents justifying the murder of Elon Musk, linked to events like the glorification of Luigi Mangione's murder of the UnitedHealthcare CEO back in December. So political violence seems to be rising on the left, and they have an increasing tolerance for political violence and assassination culture. 11% of Democrats in 2020 justified killing opposing leaders. 11% of Democrats justified killing the opposition. To me, that is a dangerous trend and polarization politically. And it, once again, I think it highlights the projection on the left as well, right? They tried to say, that it was the right where this kind of political assassination culture is coming from, which is not true, but the data actually shows the opposite, as it were. And it's the left who are okay with political violence.
It is uncanny how it's just the left that's okay with political violence.
Right?
What's the old debate? Would it be okay to go back and kill baby Hitler?
Right.
No, of course not. But you can't convince liberal people of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's outright to them, like, if they could do it and get away with it, they absolutely would.
Well, and I, It's super, super controversial, but video games have a lot to do with this.
It does. I agree.
I've got so many friends that play Call of Duty. I'm not here to preach against Call of Duty, but we have, as America has desensitized itself towards violence.
Yep.
And it starts at video games.
And Hollywood, too.
And Hollywood.
I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, you know, with graphics like they are now compared to what they were when I was a kid. And all that figures into it as well. It's so real, you can't tell the difference. You know, and now with AI, you can't tell the difference. What is real? What is fake? And people do become desensitized. All right, we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back, folks. Just hang in there.
Would you give me a napkin?
Standing in line to see the show tonight, and there's a light on.
It's coming back from the break. Beneath the marquee. And if you haven't had the wonderful opportunity to hear my friends over the Cleverleys, you need to look it up. They've got some pretty good stuff.
I've never heard that, but I do love it.
Mountaintop sounds high, lonesome Molly and Timberg, with nobody on them, ride with them. If you want to make it down that road, they the one to pay it. Earl Grubbs.
It's good stuff. Dirt Grouch. The Cleverleys. Oh, we're back from the break, and we got a few more things to hit on here. Next up, Joel, NASA is offering a $3 million reward. For what, you ask? Well, who can recycle nearly 100 bags of astronaut poop on the moon? And here's the best. This is a Not the Bee article. It says, you can tell we're getting into late stage science when these are the problems that scientists are struggling to solve. On the surface of the moon, there are not only rocks, dust, and forgotten landers. There are also 96 bags of human feces, urine, and vomit that Apollo astronauts left behind to lighten the weight of their spacecraft. Half a century later, NASA is looking for a solution to this type of biological legacy, and it's willing to pay up to $3 million for anyone who proposes the right technology to do it. This is really true. The task is called, creatively, the Luna Recycle Challenge. And alas, submissions for it just closed. So if you wanted to propose a planetary poop remediation scheme, you missed your chance, Joel.
I had a solid plan. I've got a fairly empty septic tank.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
If I split it with someone, give them 1.5
uh-huh.
to bring that down here to Goodman, Missouri.
Right. You would do the rest.
I'd take care of it. I'd put it in my – I could fit 100 bags of feces and puke in my septic.
Right. Just recycle that.
Yeah.
Right. Back into nature. Do that nice tall grass at the end of your septic tank.
Yes.
So here's some of the ideas people came up with. So here's one.
Oh, there's it. There it is.
Slingshot them into space, preferably toward the sun.
That'll take care of it. Somebody stole my idea up here.
Here's one of best I can do is launch that out of a cannon and into the sun. I take PayPal or crypto. Thanks. Here's one. I'll pay anyone $1 million to bring it to my house. I just had my septic tank. There's Joel's idea.
Yeah.
See, they beat you to it, Joel.
Yeah. I can't even be original.
These are actually submitted ones, though. People who had the submission with innovative solution. Potato gun it into the sun. Problem solved. One said nuke the site from orbit.
This last one, that's a Holden.
Distill out the water.
They really thought it through.
Sterilize the remainder with space exposure, then powder it and use it for algae fertilizer using filtered ambient sunlight.
I bet you anything that's Tim Holden.
Boom. Free oxygen and food.
That's Tim.
Under the auspices of, what is it, Aeronator is the handle on the account there.
We're going to look into that.
Yep. Here's another one. Everyone saying throw it or potato gun it is underestimating the escape velocity of the moon, which is approximately 5,300 miles per hour. That's pretty fast. And you might have some problem getting it up to speed, especially from a crucial or from a structural standpoint. So you'd want to compress and potentially freeze it or mix it with a hardening agent or epoxy of some sort. And instead of a potato gun, maybe a rail gun system of some sort. And then somebody said, this is the best. Just take a shovel next time.
$3 million.
That'll be $3 million.
Original idea. What are we going to do with this dookie?
Really not that difficult if you think through it, right? I thought that was funny, though. A real thing. $3 million.
How old would that be?
Well, I don't know. Look up. When was Apollo 13? It was in the, what was that, the 80s? 70s? I don't remember.
She Googling.
It seems like to me it was the 70s, but.
April 11th through the 17th, 1970.
1970. So
30, 55? 55.
Use that Common Core math, Joel.
Yeah. That's a private school math.
Have you heard Nate Bargatze's piece on Common Core math?
No.
Oh, it's so great.
I do love everything he does.
It's so great. I want to go see him live sometime.
He was here local in the last few days.
Really?
Yeah. So I want to see like Springfield or somewhere okay. fairly close.
No, he's coming up to Rogers too sometimes.
I would drive to Rogers to see
him. Yeah. The 2 o'clock show. Yeah, I think there's some open on the afternoon part to that. We'll have to look that up. All right, next up, we couldn't go without a Florida man story this week, Joel. And Florida man here has quite a scheme for stealing stuff at the Walmarts. You ever dealt with some criminals out there at the Walmarts just stealing stuff?
Oh, many, many. Yeah. Luckily for us, the only Walmarts in Newton County is in Neosho, and that's covered by the Neosho Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
So they handle the day-to-day calls, but I've driven across that Walmart parking lot about 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Chasing a guy.
On foot or in a vehicle? In a
vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did he steal?
Back during the cowboy days. He burglarized a house.
Oh. Yeah. So he wasn't stealing from Walmart.
He just happened to be at Walmart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I see.
He burglarized a house out there by, he took some stolen logs to Walnut. Whatever it is, Missouri
mm-hmm.
Walnut.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, we know these logs are stolen. We are whatever. And then, so the police showed up out there. Then he ran into another house, which made it burglary, which made it, hey.
Just piling up the charges.
Yeah, you can do whatever it takes to catch him, pretty much. And so then he took off in a car across. And all I remember is I am eastbound on 60 and he's running through Walmart parking lot in a car. And I cut through the ditch there with a truck parking, popped a curb, drove through the Walmart parking lot, and we caught this guy over behind the shoe department or wherever that shoe store was. It was a good time.
Yeah. So,
sorry.
Back tangent. Up, though. You mentioned something I think our audience would be shocked to find out. Tell us a little bit, Joel, about what's happening with the black market log business. And what's going on with that?
Log theft is legitimate high theft business.
So how does that happen?
So generally what we see is someone will cut a fence and go in and steal walnut logs.
Mm-hmm.
And for
because walnut is high dollar.
Yeah.
It's the number one when it comes to hardwoods.
Yeah. Well, you would know more than me, but we do have a couple places here in the county that buy walnut logs.
Yeah.
And any guy with a chainsaw and a trailer can cut logs and take them to them and sell them to them.
So what you're talking about is people trespassing on other people's land.
Yes.
Cutting down their trees.
Which, I mean, it's a tree, but it could be, I want to say $7,000-$8,000 for a nice walnut tree.
Pretty good chunk of change. I might be off on that,
but yeah. So it's a big business, cutting fence, sneaking to the backside of your property, cutting them down and hauling them off.
That's crazy.
Find out about them next year.
Right. Not exactly easy to track either.
Yeah.
I could imagine.
Well, you know, I will say that both of our places here in town do a very good job of tracking who sells them.
If some random dude comes in with a log on the back of his trailer and two teeth, they're probably like,
yeah.
Mm.
They will generally have some pretty decent records.
Check in.
And they're very good to work with.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's kind of like the whole they cut out from under the car.
Catalytic converters,
right?
Yeah.
Another crazy deal going on across the country.
Crazy. What's that metal in there? Palladium or something like that? That's high dollar metal.
Mm-hmm.
It still is.
All because the government decided that we had to have all these things for the environment in our vehicles and high dollar chemicals.
That has slowed down.
Catalytic converters.
I don't know if people are just being more aware of where they're parking and or whatnot, but that has significantly
slowed. Well, I think it also goes back to those businesses like you're talking about with the hardwood companies. They kind of know the players and
they're
careful to watch.
A good friends of ours, fans of the show, Joe Harder, he's got Neo Show Metal Recycling.
Yep.
They're very good to work with.
Yep.
They keep track, very good records.
Crazy what people will find to steal. But anyway, back to the Florida man. He arrested this guy for a $20,000 shoplifting spree, and you're not going to believe his name. This is the whole point of the story. He was arrested for allegedly shoplifting at multiple Walmarts with a pretty clever self-checkout scheme. Now, I've thought about this before, not to do it myself, but I've, you know, there's, like, let's say you go into Walmart and you buy, like, a suitcase or you buy a, you know, a couple of totes or, you know, something that has compartments in it. You could put, potentially, you could put other merchandise in there, take it to the self-checkout, scan only the one item, not what you stuffed inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of all these self-checkouts now, nobody's paying attention. Like, you know, there's less and less actual people at the checkout lines at Walmart now, so you can just scan it yourself. And who's paying attention? And also, some of the policies with these companies is they don't do anything about it, you know, except just call the police and say, well, we think somebody stole something. You go after them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's part of it, too, depending on the company and their policy. But this guy was doing that. So here's his given name, though. 40-year-old, get ready, Speedy Gonzalez.
We should have a button ready for
his actual given name, Speedy Gonzalez.
Aria.
So after identifying him on surveillance footage at a Walmart in Shalford Road, Gonzalez is accused of carrying out a series of thefts in several different counties. And of course, you know, the real Speedy Gonzalez would have never gotten caught, of course, right? But I just couldn't. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Man, this takes me back.
Here's what he was stealing right here. He allegedly stuffed his high-priced smaller items, such as nicotine products, diabetic test strips. Are these the most expensive small items he could find?
Let's read that last one.
Gum.
High-priced small items.
High-priced small items, not exactly.
Wrigley. Double mint.
Gotta get my Wrigley fix. Into larger containers like trash cans or mailboxes. And at checkout, he would pay only for the large item and leave the store with the high-priced strips of gum and nicotine product. You know, if it were me, I would probably find other things that were probably more high-priced and more marketable to fence later on, if it were me.
You would think that there'd be plenty of options.
Right. you know, like diamond rings or something, right? Walmart has jewelry.
They have some tools.
Or tools, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was funny. Next up, Kash Patel released the manifesto. Did you see this? From the Nashville shooter, Audrey Hale, who was the transgender-identifying mass shooter at the Covenant School shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. This is interesting stuff. Over 1,000 pages of writings from Audrey Hale, the individual responsible for the tragic shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville. This is an X thread from Insurrection Barbie. It's a great Twitter handle. The documents shared exclusively with Megyn Kelly, so I suppose she's probably going to do a special on this, right? And provided to the House Intelligence Committee, shed a disturbing light on the motives behind the attack that claimed the lives of 3 9-year-old students and 3 adult staff members. Audrey Hale was a 28-year-old former student from the elementary school, left behind a collection of notebooks, journals, and digital files that authorities initially described as a manifesto. But the Metro Nashville Police Department and the FBI resisted in releasing those documents, which we're always saying, right? When one of these things happens and you can tell that this person was mentally ill or there was something seriously wrong and what motivated them to do what they were doing, and it's like they never release it, right? We never really know what was behind this. It just goes away and the media stops talking about it. And they hid this. But the release of Hale's writings, totaling over 1,000 pages with minimal redactions, was accompanied by a letter to Congress stating that the action was intended to restore trust in the FBI. The documents spanning from 2020 to days before the attack, and Kelly, who reviewed the materials, Megyn Kelly, over the weekend of April the 5th and 6th, Hale's journals are replete with references to her belief that she was a man trapped in a female body, is an entry titled Let Kids Choose Their Sex, dated April the 12th, 2022. Hale wrote this, I only wore some nice girl clothes as a cover-up from the truth, which I denied myself all these years. Another entry, born a boy, raised as a girl, claims she recognized her male identity by age 5. Kelly emphasized that these writings contradicted the police department's assertion that Hale's gender identity was irrelevant to the attack. And that's the whole point of this, right? Is that the police department and the FBI at the time were saying, none of this matters. The manifesto doesn't matter. It's not connected to the attack. It's not a motivation, or anything in there would even point to a motivation of why this person did this. Well, that's not true. And the manifesto shows that this problem with gender dysphoria was a major reason as to why this attack was carried out. And she goes on and on in kind of going through those documents, but it'll be interesting to see what Megyn Kelly does with that in a special. But again, why hide these things from the public other than to protect
their narrative,
the narrative of some of these crazy groups.
Why I don't know why. I'll never know why they side with that. Trans ideology is a mental disorder.
It is. And that's
by definition in the DSM-4.
Yeah. Especially when you're talking about young kids. I mean, in the manifesto, as early as 5 years old, I mean, that's just crazy talk to think that a 5-year-old child, you know, is thinking those thoughts that I am not who I am. My gender is a different one than the one I was born with, or, you know, whatever. And a lot of times, though, what they don't tell you is how this ideology is shaped by adults in their lives.
Absolutely.
And that is fed to them. At these young ages, well, which left, I think is child abuse.
And the left has normalized it. They've normalized it, and this is now they're holding the bag on this.
Yeah, and so they don't want to – and that's why some of these things aren't released, is because they don't want to admit that the whole narrative comes crashing down on them at some point. Next up, apparently we are approaching critical mass on the explosion of emotional support animals. Have you ran into this issue, Joel?
It is a pet peeve of mine. I can't handle it.
Right.
Everyone has got their emotional support dog out with them. We might lose listeners over this. Dog with them out in public and like, hey, take that thing to the house.
Right.
I don't want it here next to me at the bakery.
Right. Well, I've talked to veterans that
now that's different.
You're right. That have actual service dogs and they don't like it either because the definition for this has been completely changed when it comes to emotional support animals or whatever.
You know, I've got some family members that replace their families and having kids with these ratty looking mm-hmm. little dogs. And maybe that's what bothers me more than anything. Take that thing to the house. You don't have to drag it with you everywhere mm-hmm. you go. But it is a pet peeve of mine. It's under my skin.
Dude, I'm sitting in a Senate hearing this week. Okay? A Senate hearing in the legislature in Jefferson City, getting ready to present a bill. I look over, and there's a guy sitting there, and he's got a dog tucked into the top of his overalls. This little dog just sticking out right there in the Senate hearing. And this guy is there to testify on a bill. And he's got this dog just tucked into his overalls. And I'm like, what in the world, man?
Take that thing to the house.
What in the world? Apparently we're approaching critical mass. Here's another story from Not the Bee. And the title says, Nevada man... I'm sorry, not is Nevada.
Nevada, Missouri?
No, that's actually Nevada, as in the state.
I think it's either or.
Nevada, Nevada.
Whatever it is to you.
Right.
I'll accept it.
Nevada man fights back after state seizes his seven, get ready, emotional support tigers.
Maybe that's where we draw the line. Maybe the little dogs aren't so bad.
Here's what the article says. I've seen some wild emotional support animals in my day. We've covered some on this site. But this man and his cats take the cake. Yes, police. Listen to the name of this town, Joel. Oh, this was funny. Pahrump.
Is that a Christmas song? The drummer boy?
Pahrump a pump pump.
Yeah.
Pahrump, Nevada. It's a real Nevada town and not the name of a Dr. Seuss character either. Have taken away a poor man's seven emotional support man-eating jungle cats because government overreach has just gone too far. Who really needs a permit to keep a tiger, right? This is just another big brother issue, sticking its nose into none of their business, isn't it? They've got a picture of old... the Tiger King.
Carol Baskin. Joe. What's his name? Joe.
Right.
Tiger. I don't know.
Mitchell, who was released on bond Wednesday evening, said the tigers are his emotional support animals. The animals did not deserve to be snatched up, knocked out with drugs, shipped across the country when they were happy and content where they had lived for more than 10 years, he said. He said, I'm 100% disabled veteran with PTSD. The VA and my doctors have approved the tigers to work as support animals. So this was a legit doctor-approved seven emotional support tigers, Joel.
Hey, I guess that's better than a slew of pills.
Right, yeah.
Until they eat your face off.
So the article says, well, if the doctors in the VA said he can have the tigers, then maybe he should be allowed to keep them. According to Mitchell, he doesn't need all of the proper licenses to keep tigers because the doctor's note is good enough. So that's all you got to do. Just get a doctor. Find a doctor that'll write a note for whatever animal you want to keep, Joel.
Did you guys ever see anything like this on the city council?
Not tigers.
No, tigers.
But I did see some pretty crazy stuff.
You know, we had tigers in the county one time.
Really?
Yeah. A couple different times.
Just in the wild or
no, pets? They're pets. They're pets.
Were they licensed and...
No, this was before my time.
Neutered.
But my buddy Travis tells a story about how he went out to this house and...
No
he's
way.
Walking around the backyard and there's this big fence and he noticed it was abnormally tall and he walks up to it and then it was really overgrown grass and then all of a sudden out of nowhere a tiger jumps
No way.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely wild, man.
go to the bathroom in your pants kind of
emotional support tiger.
Could have been the case. It was a 43 highway there north of San Diego.
Wow. Probably had a doctor's note, I guess. Huh?
Maybe they did.
So the problem, back to the article, the problem, of course, is that Mitchell didn't own the property he kept the cats on and was being evicted from that property. So he can't very well keep the cats at his new apartment. Appropriately enough, according to Mitchell, six of these tigers formerly belonged to Joe Exotic of the Tiger King fame.
Really?
However, Joe Exotic denies this claim.
From prison.
From prison. Regardless, it looks like these jungle cats have got to make one more move. So, sorry. Sorry about you, Mitchell. The cat's got to go.
Carol Baskin. I bet she winds up with some of them.
Probably so. Oh, okay. Last but not least, Joel, you got to explain this to me. And if you can, I don't know. But apparently, teenage boys are going nuts in the theaters at the new Minecraft movie. Specifically, over one line from Jack Black during the movie. Is this really real? Like, I don't understand the Minecraft craze. But I know it's a huge deal especially with teenage boys. I've never played it. I don't understand it. I don't know what it's about.
I'm with you. I mean, I've got a couple teenage boys that I know that have both played it.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Porter, my 12-year-old, if he'd seen it, and he had.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I should have picked his brain about it. But it looks insane. I don't get any of it.
Right.
I don't understand any part of it.
Yeah. So I'm going to play this clip and you'll see what, this is talking about, but they are literally destroying theaters at this specific point in this movie. And I just don't understand it. I don't understand it, but
maybe we're just too old.
It's very possible.
But like there's videos like right here of them going crazy.
Yeah. Watch this.
It's the latest rallying cry for millions of moviegoers.
Chicken jockey!
Those two little words sending teenage fans of a Minecraft movie into a frenzy, resulting in screaming, popcorn throwing, and soda flying through the air. In at least one case, the police have gotten involved, escorting some of the offenders out of theaters. So what is a chicken jockey? The official definition? A child zombie who rides a chicken, of course. This morning, that craze around chicken jockeys causing one movie theater in New Jersey to take matters into its own hands, instituting a new policy. Minors will now have to have a parent or responsible adult with them if they want to watch the film. Chicken
jockey! Look at these theaters.
You think it's just an excuse for kids to get wild?
Could very. I think it's one of those. Here's my opinion. Look at this. This guy's got his pants pulled down and, like, I mean, they're just going nuts. So, I don't know. Like, here's my thinking. I think it's one of these viral things that's all over TikTok and all over social media, and now it's become that. Like, maybe there was one instance where the people went crazy over the line that happened, and now it's gone viral, and now everybody's trying to one-up them, right? And just destroy the theater.
Yeah.
And be able to get away with it. That's my only... I don't know what else.
I could live a dozen lifetimes and never understand that.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. But it can't be good, right? It can't be good.
Which I think, have you ever seen Minecraft?
No.
So I've seen my kids play it. It's
like building stuff and whatnot.
It's bad graphics.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, you build a tunnel and... It's got a little hammer and you tear down building. I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
I remember playing Sim City. Remember that?
Sim City had better graphics than Minecraft.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
As bad as they were.
I really enjoyed Sim City because you're like building these cities and you got to keep them afloat.
That's why you were such a great mayor.
I became a mayor after that. I was like, hey,
I was great at SimCity. But that was my platform when I ran. I know you don't know this, but I was really good at SimCity.
Vote for Ben.
And what was that other game on Microsoft? Minesweeper. I was really good at Minesweeper.
Minecraft has the same graphics as Minesweeper.
No way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's that popular?
Very similar.
They're saying that this movie is the biggest opening of 2025 so far.
It is
definitely topping Snow White.
I think I would get Snow White.
Right. Even the wokeness, right?
Well, I mean, I could consider
it's made
it for
301
research.
Million globally in the opening weekend compared to Snow White's 86 million. So, there's that.
Chalk it up to we're old.
We don't know. We're just old. We're just geezers. We don't know what's going on. It's fine. I kind of prefer that. You know?
I would prefer that than whatever it takes to understand.
You know what I do when they're like talking Minecraft? I'm like, come on, kids. Let's go fishing. Let me show you something really fun. Let me show you something that'll really help you.
I heard earlier I've got to fact check your fishing stories, though.
Well, that's always probably the case. Or hunting. Whatever.
Yeah. Good thing you've got a Googler.
That's right. Well, that brings us to the end, Joel. Anything else to add?
Can't think of anything.
No. You know the drill, folks. Go over and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Amazon, wherever.
YouTube.
Yes. Find us there as well with our videos coming out every week as well. So
what do the kids say? Like and smash that subscribe
That subscribe button. Yeah.
Stop.
That's right.
You guys can't see.
Do that. We just did.
It just didn't come off the same way, did it?
No, it didn't at all. Not at all. But yeah, go over there and then just share it with your friends. Oh, by the way, we've got an ad coming up next week.
Very exciting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Got a good friend that has a new business that is popping up in the area, and I think it'll be good to put it on the show. So we're going to start with that next week. Without any further ado, oh, do you know Tim is getting really close to getting the Japanese shamisen finished?
Did it come in?
It came in.
It came in while I was gone.
And he's been redoing the heads on it. And, dude.
What a guy.
It's so cool. I can't wait. It's going to be hanging in the man cave soon.
Very cool.
And I'm going to learn how to play it. Three-string shamisen.
I'll find an ice scraper laying around.
That's right. All right. Ciao, everybody. See you next week. Speaking of the shamisen. So good. Maybe next week we'll have a quorum, you think?
I think so.
This has been the longest drought.
Longest stretch
of a quorum, I think, since we started.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when I can't make it one of these days?
It gets to be me and Tim here with no outline. That'll be awkward.
Or great.
You may know my mind.
Never know.
How would we know when to end? It'd be the longest podcast
for sure. We need to do one like that sometime. Totally just random. You know? Just three dudes talking in the main cave.
With no mission or goal. Or outline or structure.
That's right.
That's basically what we do before and after the show, generally.
And sometimes during.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah, I'm really excited about the shamisen. It's so cool. The craftsmanship.
Did you bring it in?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's unreal. It's like all mortised together and you can pull it apart and like you would never know. It's so tight and it's wild. Yeah, can't wait. Tim's so into it. He's been sending me, I guess he found there's like a shamisen orchestra.
No way.
He's sending me these songs.
songs from the Shamisen Orchestra.
It's wild.